Wondering if you should stay in Illinois or move out of state? Get your copy of Scott Tucker's book, Escape Illinois, Should I Stay or Should I Go? Get your complimentary copy at retirementdakota.com.
Investment advisory services are made available through AE Wealth Management, LLC, a registered investment advisor.
As Dave Bennett and I have been discussing, a lot of what we saw last night on ESPN on The Last Dance had to do with Michael Jordan and the gambling issue and Michael dealing with the media. And at one point, he told the film crew, it's funny, a lot of people say they want to be Michael Jordan for a day or a week, but let them try to be Michael Jordan for a year and see if they like it. And when you see the crush of people around him all the time, and then having to face the reporters explaining his gambling, you understand why Michael felt that way. And before we talk to J.A. Adonde, let's let you hear a little bit of a clip from Will Perdue talking about Michael Jordan and the whole issue of gambling from The Last Dance on ESPN last night.
Michael was competitive at everything, whether it was on the golf course or playing cards, whatever it was. I mean, his life was just one big competition. Scotty, Michael, Ron Harper, these guys would play cards in the back of the plane for major money. I'm talking about thousands of dollars.
This is my way of giving some of my money back.
And me, John Paxson, BJ Armstrong, we would play blackjack in the front of the plane for a dollar a hand. He knows that we would never play with him in the back because it's just too much money. But he would come up to the front and he's like, what are you guys doing? Do you mind if I play? I remember John Paxson looking at him and going, why in the hell do you want to play with us? We're playing for a dollar a hand. I remember he looked at him and goes, because I want to say I got your money in my pocket.
Will Perdue.
I love that.
Yeah, that was great. AJ Adonde worked for ESPN worked for ESPN, the Los Angeles Times, the Washington Post, the Chicago Sun-Times. He joins us now. And J.A., saw you a little bit on the show last night for about 3 seconds. How you doing?
Yeah, I popped up. It's 3 seconds, but it's 3 seconds with about 6 million people watching. So
yeah.
I'll take whatever I can get.
How about that? And it was, I mean, Michael's vice was really, how did he put it? It was about his competitive spirit, how he wanted to challenge everybody, whether they were playing cards or pitching pennies on the sidewalk or basketball.
Yeah, and you saw the other clip that they showed last night. He's, you know, tossing quarters against the wall, seeing who can come closest to the wall with his security people. So here's this, you know, billionaire now, and he's got the competitive juices flowing, tossing quarters for about $20. And it really was the principle of, you know, yeah, he didn't need the money. The money wasn't going to change his life, but he had this need to win, and he had this need to take what was yours, even if it was just $1, that made it even better because he knew that dollar meant more to you than it did to him.
Yeah.
But the thought of him taking that dollar just really energized him.
Yeah, J.A., let me bring Dave Bennett into the conversation here.
Hey, J.A., how are you?
Good, Dave.
So you're journalism students, you're grad students at Medill. If my math's correct, they were born around the time this was all taking place, right? So how did they react to what they're seeing?
They're fascinated. So my colleague, Melissa Isaacson, who you also see in the documentary, covered the Bulls in the 90s for the Tribune.
Sure.
So Melissa and I do a chat with them, and just on Zoom using the chat function. And just to get their feedback, see what questions they have, see what things stand out, and we go into detail and fill in some of the gaps on the documentary, especially the first one. They were just mesmerized. They had no idea. And just the situation that set up. It was a different league in so many different ways, the physicality of the way the game was played back then, and also the economic structure. The early 90s were crossroads where guys who were on the older contracts from the 80s and early 90s, like Scottie Pippen and Michael Jordan, you know, there was this influx of money and these huge contracts and salary explosions in the mid-90s, and the older guys got left out of that a little bit. And so the bitterness over the contract disparities was something that they were surprised at, too, and some of the details and the technicalities as to why that discrepancy and disparity existed. they're curious about too. So they've all heard, and they have, you know, some notion of what the 90s Bulls were about, but now they're seeing it close to firsthand, and it's fascinating to them.
Are we seeing a different Michael Jordan now than the guy you were around when you were on the beat, in the sense that while he still seems very passionate about some of his beliefs, for instance, Isaiah Thomas, there are times when he seems to have mellowed a little bit when he looks back at what happened 20 plus years ago.
There's the wisdom of perspective, but I think you said it right. The passion is still there. And he just, one of my favorite shots is when they hand him the iPad that contains the Isaiah Thomas interview soundbite. He gets agitated just thinking about what Isaiah might have said. You know, before he even listens, he's just agitated, saying, I don't even want to hear this. I'll listen, I guess, but I don't even want to hear it. So that passion is still there. A lot of the old rivalries, I think, still burn within him. The satisfaction he got from beating Charles Barkley and Clyde Drexler in the finals is still there. So I would say not much has changed. A tad bit of mellowing, you know, the wisdom of the perspective, the honesty that comes with the 20-year separation from some of the events, 25, 30 even, from some of the events they're talking about. There's that separation that comes that allows him to look back a little bit differently. But I'd say he's still the same guy that we saw back then, the same guy that you saw in the Hall of Fame speech when he went in. That same guy is who we're seeing now, just a little bit more open about it.
J.A., covering the NBA as you did for so many years, do you have a favorite memory of those Bulls teams, a favorite story about your experience with them?
It's hard to pick out so many. You know, one that I told that I don't think made the documentary, just catching Jordan before one of the Knicks games in the playoffs, and I went downstairs to the old Chicago Stadium. I wanted to get a drink, you know, hit the soft drink machine, and there's Michael. They're all getting ready to go upstairs and take the floor, and he's just kind of walking around, bobbing his head, saying, three-peat, and I had my back turned at first. I said, wait a minute, did that come from Michael? And that was him. You know, they're going for the three-peat, and he was just like bobbing his head like a rooster. There's actually a similar clip, I think, that you've seen in The Last Dance, where you just see him kind of acting goofy right before they take the court. So that was just an accidental moment that I stumbled across, a behind-the-scenes moment. You know, just seeing the lighthearted, and you're seeing that, too, in the documentary, just how he was on the bus and in the locker room with his teammates, and especially with his security guards when he really let himself, you know, be honest and let his guard down. You know, it was cool to get some of the behind-the-scenes moments like that.
I have to ask you, J.A., if you think we are going to see NBA basketball again this year.
Oof. I think so. You know, so much of it is out of their hands. Can we get testing? You know, we keep waiting for that, and I just don't see any progress on that front. But there's just so much money at stake. I think they'll find a way to squeeze something in. And maybe it's best of five series instead of best of seven or best of three. Or I wouldn't mind just a NCAA-style single elimination tournament. But I think we'll get some type of modified version of the NBA just because there's so much money at stake.
Jay, what do you miss most about covering the NBA so closely as you did for so many years?
I miss the way it was then. There's a clip on the NBA media social media account today showing Jordan talking after one of the finals games. And what strikes me is that he still had his warm-ups on, which meant that he hadn't gone back and showered and changed, which meant that it was probably 20 minutes after the final buzzer. And, you know, nowadays, like, LeBron would take like an hour and a half to come into the interview room. It just takes so long. The access is so much more restricted. There was some great video last night from before the All-Star game in 98 in the locker room. And the media used to be able to go in the locker room before the All-Star game. You'd just get some great exchanges between great players who weren't teammates, and you'd see just the very honest exchanges and how they were fans of each other even. So I miss those moments. So again, the behind-the-scenes access that you were able to get. You got to know the players a little bit better, got to see them with their guard down a little bit more, covering the NBA in the 90s. And the other thing is the intensity of the rivalries. The fact that they're still so passionate two decades later is because the rivalries were so intense back then. these days they're liable to be teammates. You know, it seems like everybody has played with everybody at some point, but there's so much movement around the league. Back then, there were these long, hard-forged rivalries. I miss that as well.
Yeah, and I loved hearing just the trash talk and the asides in the locker room. I think that was one of the great things about that documentary, and continues to be. And we'll be watching for the next 2 hours Sunday, and then the final two the Sunday after that, and maybe another appearance by J.A. Adande. You never know, right?
Yeah, you should see me in episode 8. That was the one. I don't know. I angered the director a little bit last night. It was some comments I made on social media.
Oh, really?
They left out the fact that Magic, well, it's just kind of jarring because you go from Magic playing Jordan in the finals in 91 to Magic calling the games on NBC in 92, and there's no explanation for what happened in between. A pretty big, you know, deal after where he announced he was retiring because he had HIV. Director said, hey, you know, he sent me a message, but I think it's all good. So hopefully they'll leave me in. If they do, if I didn't anger him too much, you should see me in episode 8.
J.A. Adande, longtime sports journalist and now director of sports journalism at Northwestern. Good talking to you. Thanks for the time this morning, J.A.
Great to talk to you guys.